Mahomes barks out an audible. He brings Kareem Hunt in motion to him. Now he pump fakes right, throws up for the end zone, and the pass is caught. Tyquan Thornton, touchdown! Kansas City, Tyquan Thornton with the TD on a 5-yard throw by Mahomes, and he threads the needle for the first Chiefs touchdown of the game.
Well, thank you to Chiefs Radio for that final score, 22-9 on Sunday Night Football. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I don't know if anyone feels a lot better about the Chiefs, Pearl, even though they won last night, and maybe that's because the bar's so high for a team like Kansas City, and also the Giants really did their part in helping Kansas City win that game. So you had a dust up between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce on the sideline, although we've seen that before, most notably in the Super Bowl. And I just didn't walk away thinking, oh gosh, everything's fixed now for Kansas City.
No. I totally agree with you. Their offense is still, I think I used this term last week, I meant to, constipated. It's just so,
it's good word.
It just has so much trouble getting vertical. Patrick Mahomes, 22 for 37. That's a lot of incompletions. 224 yards. 37 attempts, 224 yards is not a lot. There is definitely a problem here. But here's the question. Will it all get fixed? And you kind of hinted at this during the broadcast. When Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy get back after Rice's six-game suspension and whatever, Worthy's healthy.
I think he could. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, I guess, because it is the Chiefs. But I still don't love what I see, and I know maybe that's being nitpicky after a 22-9 win on the road against, you know, a desperate Giants team who was kind of feeling themselves coming off of, yes, a loss to the Dallas Cowboys, who we'll get to in a moment. But Russell Wilson was really cooking in that game, and they were just airing the ball out.
We suck.
Well, it looks like Kansas City watched that tape, and they were like, yeah, no, you're not doing that here. And Russ is over. I mean, listen, maybe we probably said that week one.
I mean, you guys kept trying to tell me, oh, look at what he just did against the Cowboys. Yeah, a blind squirrel can find a nut once or twice.
One for 10 on third down. I mean, the Giants are an awful unit right now.
Yeah, anyway. I don't put that all on Russ, by the way.
Well, he was bad, too.
Yeah, he was definitely bad, but, the two picks, the let throw it up and hope Malik Nabers was out there that worked against Dallas. Now we learn that anything works against Dallas. So it was, we'll get into that game later. But I'm just saying that Russ has used the same thing. He's like, well, if Nabers are so good, I'm going to throw a 50-50 ball to him. And I guess he's not that good because he didn't even compete on one of them. It turned out into an interception. And then he threw a long ball, whereas Collinsworth said Wandale Robinson sort of drifted off into the night and didn't compete for the ball at all. So you can put it on Russ, but that whole team sticks. The offense stinks. The defense is pretty good.
Yeah, the defense is fine.
Defense was all over Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean,
they could be really, if they had a decent offense, that defense could be elite.
Well, this is the thing. That's one of my other big takeaways. I was still not impressed with Kansas City's offensive line.
Oh, no. No reason to be.
And the penalties. And, you know, 8 penalties for them last night for 85 yards. I know they've won the Super Bowl in every which way you possibly can. They've done this so many times. But between that offensive line and the penalties, it's just still looking pretty mid.
And
pretty
mediocre. The run game is also just, it's nothing great.
No, they had 100 yards of rushing last night.
Yeah, and
105, pardon me.
And Mahomes had to run 5 times again. They're definitely broken, and they have Baltimore coming up this week.
And it's funny because you look at some of the other teams around the league, you know, who Kansas City's biggest. We're going to watch the Ravens tonight. They're going to play against the Lions. That's a really good defense, so we'll see. We think it's a really good defense, maybe back to being a good defense.
Wait, the Lions?
Is it Ravens-Lions tonight?
No. Who's a good defense, the Ravens or the Lions?
Well, I thought the Lions were much better against the Bears. You know, the first week against Green Bay, not so much. And then the second week against the Bears, better.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they might. We don't know if the Ravens or Lions offense, defense could both be terrible. I mean, the Ravens defense might be awful. We're not sure.
Well, but I guess I'm just trying to say the other teams, the other contenders in the AFC, the people who are going to be, you know, the teams that are going to be vying for the title, presumably with the Chiefs, the Chargers were impressive yesterday in a come-from-behind win against the Denver Broncos. Obviously, the Bills are still impressive, even though it took them a little bit to beat the Dolphins on Thursday, which kind of feels like a year ago. The Colts, I guess, are a thing.
Yeah. It's interesting about these AFC defenses. I think there's still a lot of unknown. The Ravens are currently ranked 32 in defense. So that the Bills, you keep complaining about their defense.
Watch them closely. It's
the
not
Chargers
awesome.
Might have the best defense of this group.
Yeah,
and
they
the Chiefs
are
right there too. So yeah, it's so hard to tell after 3 weeks, but they're 1-2, Maggie. So I know you've been haunted by this Chiefs team.
No doubt.
So you can't count them out.
No, I won't count them out. But walking away from last night, I was not that impressed. And in fact, it was just more of, you know, we asked a poll question a couple, like a week or so ago, who will be the first team in New York to win first, the Jets or the Giants? And Manny said we should have added the New York Knicks to that poll. And, you know,
neither.
Honestly,
yeah.
It's the next season doesn't tip off for another 20 days.
11 days until we get to till we play the Sixers in Abu Dhabi. So,
but that's preseason. Or that's real.
Oh no, that's preseason.
Yeah.
I think you and I differ a little bit. This when Rashee Rice gets back, that Chiefs team changes. He's really, really good.
If they can get him the ball,
they could definitely get him the ball. They always get him the ball. That guy's a target machine.
No, I'm saying that was more a commentary on the Chiefs offensive line.
Right, but they quick passing to Rashee Rice. He's their immediate outlet, and Mahomes is really comfortable with that. He's really good after the catch. Where I'm sorry, Juju Smith-Schuster, he's okay, but they don't have consistent weapons. Like, their receivers make one good play, one mediocre play. So I have a little faith that things will turn around. I think they could be a good second half team.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We say this on Mondays, and we mean it. We're going to try to get to every game, college and pro, all the biggest ones. But if you want to talk about your team, then you got to give us a call, and we will do that with you. Should we just get right into the Cowboys?
As always, yes.
Okay, so, you know, we're on in the Dallas area. That doesn't mean, you know, there's Cowboy fans everywhere, but it's as bad as it could possibly be on defense. whoever's left on defense, they are playing like a disaster. And I think the Bears had a good, like, there was a good confluence of events that happened for the Bears yesterday, right? The play calling, I thought, was much better. The protection for Caleb was much better. And again, this is, you know, Dallas's defense. And, you know, they could attack downfield. And that's what Caleb is really good at, right, Pearl? Making something happen downfield. Bears got the rookies involved. But that bad Dallas defense got even worse when CeeDee Lamb got hurt. Because then now the Dallas offense is losing their best playmaker, and they were having trouble sustaining drives, right? Because there's only so much that George Pickens can do, even though he had this beautiful one-handed catch at one point.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a desperate, very desperate Chicago team. It felt like the kind of whole football world was avalanching against them to try to bury them in bad press. And after they had gotten blown out by the Lions, like, it was bleak. And they used that Dallas bad defense to get right.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem for the Bears. What did we talk about earlier in the segment? The Cowboys made Russell Wilson look like 2014 Seahawks Russell Wilson. So I don't think Caleb Williams is what we saw on Sunday, and I don't think he is what we saw in the first 2 weeks. I think he's somewhere in between. Mm. The problem is the Cowboys, you're so comfortable in the pocket, almost too comfortable. You can almost nap if you're a quarterback. They can't get after the quarterback, and I hate it, Maggie. You know I hate it? Because all offseason, or the last 2 weeks of the offseason, we talked about how can you trade Micah Parsons? You're not going to be able to get after the quarterback. So they trade him, and they can't get after the quarterback. It's one of those offseason headlines that came totally true.
It's an abomination.
It's just so embarrassing that this... And then they pay everybody, including their DBs, who are so...
Yeah.
They're washed. I don't want to say it, but they're not looking good right now.
And Trayvon Diggs got hurt yesterday, so he's leaving the game at a terrible, terrible time. And when you have a defense that's that bad, even if Dak and the offense is playing okay, you can't mount a comeback. You can't get stops.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dak was actually pinpoint accurate. He would look.
That's what I'm saying. Even if Dak is good, you can't come back if you're down two scores because you cannot get a stop.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys actually outgained them significantly. Well, they had 396 yards. The Bears had 385 yards. The Cowboys could move the ball, but the problem is the defense. I mean, the buck stops there.
Okay, so here was Dak Prescott saying Sunday's play was unacceptable.
Not acceptable, not to our standard, not anywhere in what we believe in and what we're capable of doing. And got away quick and had a chance right there to cut it back to 10 and had a turnover in the red zone. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, 31-14 was the final score, if I didn't mention that. But, like, are we sure that's not the standard for Dallas? What is the standard? Because I know what Dak means. Like, he's holding himself to a high standard. But I don't know if on the outside we know what the Cowboys' standard is yet. I think the standard I know is that they need to be anything but bad and boring.
Well, the standard.
That's what Jerry. You just have to be interesting. And if you're not, he'll do something to make you more interesting. Like yesterday when he said the Cowboys are still a playoff team.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I think the standard for a long time has been make the playoffs and lose in the first round. That was the standard. But I don't I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. They play Green Bay next week. That probably an angry Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay will get into losing to Cleveland on the road.
Well, I just think like, oh, Jordan Love didn't have any time against Cleveland. He's going to look like a completely different quarterback.
Also, I heard that there's a Packers linebacker who used to play for the Cowboys too.
Yeah,
Michael Parsons flagged for a big penalty on that final drive for Cleveland, got him closer.
I assume CeeDee Lamb is going to do anything he can to play in this game. It's a big game.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's an ankle injury. So if you take out CD, by the way, don't even consider the playoffs or even a Cowboys win. I mean, obviously, second he got hurt, everything changed as well.
No doubt. And he got hurt, and it was so weird because the replay showed it looked pretty bad. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the replay, like, you slow it down.
Ankles can turn in weird ways and come back.
And come back, right. Yeah. So he went to the medical tent, and then, to his credit, he came back. And they started using him, at least for one play, as like a running back. Like, Shoddy, what are you doing, dude? What's our Denzel drop? Are you outside your mind? Like, I don't know why you would put him in that kind of situation, but, I'm not a coach. I don't have the same information that they have, but it seemed really dumb, and it also seemed like the Cowboy fans were not happy about that. He's your best offensive weapon. He's just coming out of the medical tent. He's your wide receiver, maybe not a ball carrier. That's just me. Put him in harm's way.
Yeah. Dak, though, does look good for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's going to get you a hill of beans.
Well, I mean, listen.
There are four wins.
It'd be better than him not looking good. He does make $60 million a year.
Honestly, they can lose to anyone right now. They can. You know, you got Green Bay coming in. You mentioned it. You know, people are really upset with Jordan Love and how bad the offense looked for the Packers yesterday. Absolute get right game. Then they're coming to the New York Jets.
Oh, that should be if you can't beat the Jets. I mean,
okay, that's but again, they can lose to anybody.
Which Jets?
Think that.
Yeah, I mean it's on the road, so that'll be a test. But yeah, it does get easier. Carolina and Jets, like those, could be Cowboy wins.
Well, when you have a defense that looks like the 2000 Rams, you can lose to any and everyone every week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that what we saw last night out of Russell Wilson even just further confirmed how bad the Dallas defense is. Because I think there was an idea like, oh, man, maybe Russ found something, you know, that deep ball. Nope, he didn't.
Nope.
He did not. And so
he might have found himself a spot on the bench.
Well,
probably not.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about going back to last night's game, Sunday night game. Kansas City wins 22-9. This Jackson Dart stuff is so weird to me.
That really bothers you.
It bothers me a lot.
Why? Who cares?
They put him in for a play or two.
Yeah, he runs a little bit.
Get some cardio. Why not, right, Colonel?
Yeah.
Get some Dart cardio. The gadget.
It gives an opportunity for the broadcast booth to talk about him. It's fun.
It's not even fun. The plays aren't even creative.
Here's a guy. He went to Ole Miss. He's not getting the starts right.
He ran for 3 yards. That was
a nice play design. He just didn't throw the ball.
You don't like, that play. Option Dart?
Here's my thing. If you actually are trying to develop him, let him play for a drive. Let him see if he can get into a rhythm. What does one play do?
No, we're the New York Giants. We don't do that stuff. We don't do sensible football things.
I'm being serious. It crossed my mind that, like, you know how there's that story that Phil Knight, the Oregon booster and the head of Nike, gets to call one play every game? That's like I don't know if that's ever been confirmed.
I know that urban myth.
One of those urban legends that Phil Knight gets to call a play once a game. I wonder if the owner of the Giants, the Maras,
calls every play.
We want to watch him at least once.
I think he calls every play.
But I'm just saying it's so random. It's like it fell out of the sky.
Well,
it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I told you I grew up on this Randall Cunningham filling in for Ron Jaworski on random plays, and it was the best. I think, okay, the Giants, right, they're holding Russ in there until they get through the hard defenses in the first half of their schedule. That's what we said coming into the season.
Yes, I said Dart would start against the Saints, and I still believe that. That's when they'll insert him.
But then they got the Eagles, whose defense is pretty good, and Denver. That at Denver, I don't know if they want Jackson Dart playing that game.
The season's going to be over. They're all going to be fired.
It's already over.
But the whole thing is about developing. Who cares about the season? Yeah. I'm saying like it's all about developing Dart. You do not want him to get sacked 53 times against Denver at Denver.
Me personally, I'm just tired of the losing.
Honestly, like I think you want to.
Well, hang on 5 minutes.
Yeah, you want to. Let's see. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Chicago in week 10.
Week 10, we're talking about what, November?
Yeah, I mean, hey, they might start him next week. Wow. I mean, like, they got to look at the tape of Russ. But I think he'll get hurt. Like, not hurt, but he's going to get demolished in those games. Like, I think.
Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I Jackson Dart, because first of all, he thinks he's Patrick Mahomes. Apparently, he played him in the scout team, and he can run around, do whatever he wants, and he's a big kid. But Denver is going to hit him. Philly's going to hit him. So we'll see. I mean, it could be David Carr.
The Giants' offensive line is starting to hold up a little bit. Maybe he won't get touched as much.
But he likes to run. You can tell.
Well, let him get out there and take a few lumps. It's not the end of the world.
Welcome 888, kid.
888-710-4477. Or start Jameis. I don't know. 888-710-4476. But I don't. That doesn't solve anything for you. But
they're also in a funny.
In for one play doesn't do anything.
They're in a funny spot too because they could be top five pick and quarterbacks, and they're not going to take one. That's kind of a bit of a bummer if you're a Giants fan.
Well, that even more reason. Let's just see Dart. I'm surprised these guys haven't done it just to try to save their jobs. Okay, we are asking you: do you feel any better about the Chiefs last night? They won, so they got that going for them.
But beat a JV team.
No Taylor last night? I didn't see her.
You didn't see Lawrence Taylor? He was there.
I did see Lawrence.
I did see
Taylor.
LT, yeah.
Drinking
little,
on camera.
A little smoking a cigar as well inside
drinking
of
MetLife. Drinking wine?
Yeah,
didn't know Lawrence Taylor was a wine guy.
I mean, he's LT, you know? Can get away with anything in northern New Jersey.
Very posh by LT.
Yeah. I guess he's an every kind of alcohol guy just by the reports.
Oh.
But no Taylor last night. Or we didn't see her. 888-710-4ISN.
Maybe she's pregnant.
Is that why Travis was yelling at Andy Reid again?
Yeah, probably.
I think this time Andy Reid was yelling at him.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Reid was the one who initiated that. Okay, and then the Dallas defense. Whoo, dog. That thing is bad. Are they going to win 5 games this year? That's how bad the defense is. 888-710-4ISN. Again, we want to hear from you. So much on the table today. Let's hit it.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. If you want to go to a dark, ugly place, Maggie, you should go to the drafts on my X feed.
I can only imagine.
Because watching the Rams-Eagles game, I had one tweet ready to fire off. It's first and goal at the 4, and you have a minus 5-yard carry to Saquon Barkley that everyone knew was coming. And Saquon Barkley, by the way, I was right about that. He is not the same player as last year. Then my other one was the Rams are in a potential to win the game, and all they do is throw to Puka Nacua. Everyone in the building knows it's coming. Why don't you cover that guy?
Yeah.
Did send either. Something, maybe a force above, stopped me from sending them, and then the Philadelphia Eagles found a way to win. I have no idea. You know, the ESPN win probability, even after they won, it was still at like 13%. I did not know how the Eagles won that game.
Yeah, it was not a force from above. It was Jordan Davis. It was a force from right on the line of scrimmage.
There was about 14.
They blocked the field goal.
Yeah, absolutely. There were about 14 times the Rams should have put that game away. Or maybe 50 times. It is one of the craziest, weirdest wins I've ever seen.
And it was only just one of the wacky wins that happened because of blocked field goals that got returned for touchdowns or set up another team in awesome field position. Yesterday was about special teams. This was Manny just in his glory yesterday.
Except for his Giants, whose special teams with that lefty punter guy. Oh, my God.
And
that was a disaster.
Yeah, and just the Giants last night, they lose the Chiefs 22-9. You have all these amazing special teams play. Like, amazing depends on what side of the ledger you're on.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Rams fans, I'm feeling for you because you should have won that game. Definitely should have won that game. But you also then had last night, Graham Gano's got a groin injury, the kicker for the Giants. So they don't put him out there in the first half. But then in the second half, he's able to go out there and kick a field goal. This team, your team, Manny, I don't get him.
Me either.
JT's in Atlanta wants to talk about the Eagles win over the Rams. JT, what'd you see, man?
So last week when Perloff picked the Rams,
you're breaking up, dude. We need you in better cell service.
Breaking up just like the Rams offensive line on a field goal attempt.
Oh my gosh. I felt my immediate thought goes to George, obviously, yeah. In LA, big friendly in California, are two huge Rams fans. I was in Rams gear on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, there was a bet too. If they had lost, I would have to wear an undersized Rams shirt. Yeah.
You're off the hook.
I'm off the hook.
You should thank Jordan Davis and your lucky stars. JT is back.
Yes. JT. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. What's up?
Okay. So last week when Perloff picked the Rams, I'm sitting here listening going, what's he doing? Is this like the reverse kibosh that he's trying to do? And then I watched the game and I was like, oh, he was right.
Yeah.
And then the game ended. And in like the second half, they unleashed, you know, the hounds on them. And then I was like, you know what, Perloff, I just got one thing to tell you. You know, you might have been right, but don't ever side with anyone against the family again, in the great words of Michael Corleone.
JT, am I just supposed to pick the Eagles every game, even though the Rams came out like it was their Super Bowl and looked like they were going to win by 30?
Yes. Yeah, just like you were. I forget what show you were on last week. We're big dogs now. You got to ride with us no matter what. Until we don't win another Super Bowl, until someone dethrones us, we're the best. We were the best thing since sliced bread. And until someone shows us different, then we just got to keep that pick.
JT, Maggie tweeted about this too. They rightfully booed the Eagles in the first half. They had 33 yards of total offense. 33 yards of total offense at home. That
was
terrible.
Booing at home.
You guys,
I was booing at home.
You guys hung a banner 2 weeks ago.
That was a long time ago.
You guys, this is why people don't like Eagle fans. You want to know why? Because it's week three. It's the first half. You have another great NFC team that's coming in. All right, it was a little stop start in the first half. It was pretty bad.
33 yards.
It's pretty bad. I'll give you that. But the Rams defense is legit. And you guys are booing. You look like idiots. I'm sorry. You look petty. You look you're too emotional.
I got to be honest. Like, there's
thank you, JT.
50 better reasons. Yeah, thanks, JT. There's 50 better reasons to hate Eagles fans than that. Booing their own team. I mean, you should see what we do to the other team. That is where the real hatred comes in. But you have to admit, this new offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, dude, throw the ball. Like, what? I mean, I've never seen. Thankfully, he reversed course. But he seems like an idiot for not throwing the ball in the first half.
Yeah, well, this was the same issue last year with the Eagles. What's wrong with the passing game? You got A.J. Brown reading self-help books on the sideline.
Yep.
He wasn't doing that because the passing game was lights out.
He was bored. Yeah, but isn't it crazy? Like, all of a sudden, wait, hey, maybe if we throw the ball to our two $30 million a year receivers, we'll have some yards. Still, the Rams absolutely should have won that game about six different ways.
I mean, pretty unbelievable that you had five block kicks yesterday. Overall, three blocked field goals inside of 2 minutes in three different games. So you had obviously the Eagles-Rams game, the block field goal, touchdown scored by Jordan Davis. You had the Packers-Browns where Greg Newsom, he blocks a field goal and leads to a walk-off field goal by Andre Schmidt, who turned out to be one of the great stories of this season, a game-winning 54-yarder. And then the Jets-Bucks just giving that little tease to the Jets fans with Will McDonald returning a field goal for a block field goal for a touchdown, and then Baker Mayfield drives him down the field. And they kick a game-winning field.
And also, by the way, one thing about the Eagles, there is definitely a little fear of the Commanders, but at least we don't have to worry about the Giants and the Cowboys anymore.
You do not. Keep them coming, guys. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Andrew Bogish is here with the latest and greatest. What's up, dude?
Guys, good morning. Your headline sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. As you guys have been discussing, who needs a girlfriend or Jalen Brunson when you've got special teams? Those Jets, though, might need a stiff drink this morning on a day with all of those blocked field goals, punt return touchdowns, fueling victories, gangrene with good special teams, still winless.
A 43-yard attempt. McLaughlin has been perfect today.
Kenny Albert on Fox, that was Will McDonald jumping over the line, blocking the kick, and returning it 50 yards for a one-point lead with 1:51 to go. But that was 1:51 for Baker Mayfield to take the Bucs back down the field, and this time Chase McLaughlin's kick got off safely. It went through. The Bucs win 29-27. Aaron Glenn, a proud losing head coach.
Man, these guys, I mean, they fought their ass off. Love every one of those guys for how they came out in the second half.
But didn't win. His team was down 23-6 early in the fourth quarter before almost stealing the game. The Bucs, meanwhile, they're 3-for-3 this season, producing a late winning drive in each game. Todd Bowles, though, didn't think yesterday possible as McDonald was running down the field.
Excuse my language, like you got to be me.
Todd. So the Bucs win. They're 3-0. Also 3-0 this morning, the Chargers, the Niners, the Eagles, the Colts, and not the Giants. 22-9 losers at home to the Chiefs. So they are 0-3. There were boos for Russell Wilson, and there were three more random Jackson Dart run plays as they work him into actual usefulness. So let's jump to baseball now. The big dumper at it again last night in Houston.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a well-hit ball down the right field line. Stay fair. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, he does it again. Number 58 for Cal Raleigh, getting closer to the Bambino. Cal Raleigh with a two-run screaming line drive. He is rampaging through the record books here in 2025.
Rick Riz, Mariners Radio, homer number 58 for Raleigh, a two-run shot. It capped off a seven-run second inning in Houston on Sunday Night Baseball. Poor Astros third baseman Carlos Correa was doing the in-game on-field interview as his team was giving up seven runs in an inning, about to take a three-game sweep from the Mariners. So they now have a three-game lead on those Astros atop the AL West as the final week of the regular season begins.
I did the math. Six games to go. He's got 58. I mean, you could chase some history in these six games. Cal Raleigh. What if he tops Judge?
Right, and now everybody's playing all of these like very specific math games and kind of nonsensical. Like, well, if he hits 60, he's got to be the MVP. But 59, I can't vote for.
Worst guy in the world.
Right. I mean, come on.
Best guy to ever play the game.
That's so
59
baseball.
To 60.
Yeah. I mean, a six is bigger than a five.
Wait, I have a question, though. Does the Maris family get back on
no,
that?
No, no, no.
They're
that
out,
once,
right?
They're okay, out. That yeah, that's it. I don't know if the Judge family will wander around.
I was
going
to say, did Judge's parents now start following Cal Raleigh?
I mean, he's not. Don't they just need to give it to him just to mix it up a little bit? Same with that's my Kyle Schwarber over Shohei argument too. Just
it's
mix
actually
it up.
Not a bad argument.
Yeah, it's like the NBA is like, well, Michael Jordan's the best player, but let's give it to some other guy. You know, I understand like that Shohei and Aaron Judge, like we're just gonna give it to him every year from here on out. Like, what's the fun in that? You gave it to Josh Allen last year, even though he was worse than Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry, NFL.
Well, at least Lamar Jackson, you had the faux argument of like, well, he can't win playoff games, so he can't bring him MVP again.
Right.
Just like straight boredom, but I'll take it because it's an anti-Yankee. I'm assuming EJ's not here today because Miami's up to number two in the AP college football poll. They jump LSU and Penn State. It's the Canes' highest ranking since 2017. Oklahoma State, of course, remains number one. WNBA yesterday, Asia Wilson got her fourth league MVP award, but then her Aces lost home to the Fever 89-73. That's an upset in game one of a best of five semifinal. The other series beginning with the Lynx taking care of the Mercury 82-69. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, it's just, is it, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's irony. It's just something is crazy. The fact that Caitlin Clark has been injured with this groin and she hasn't been able to play, and now the team is two wins away from getting to the WNBA finals.
And I mean, it's not just her, like they have like five of their top seven players are out. I mean, they have nobody.
Hmm. This
and
is
Kelsey
like the
Mitchell's
Bill Simmons Ewing theory, like, but on steroids.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
The idea that the team is better without their superstar sometimes.
Yeah. And Sophie Cunningham and like three other regulars, and they're getting fined again over the weekend for ref criticism from the last game of their previous round.
Very interesting. Bogish, thank you so much. Quickly, let's go to Kenny, who's in Dallas because the Dallas defense, Kenny, is even worse than you could have thought. Whoever's left over is just not getting the job done. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. I think we're looking at this a little bit wrong, though. This is, once again, another thing that shows why Jerry is such a bad GM. Once again, you keep hiring people that you're comfortable with. The people that you know, Jerry, they suck at football.
The players or the coaches? Who are you talking about specifically?
Our coaches. He always got to hire people he's comfortable with. It's like, well, look, you need to hire somebody that's going to challenge you. And the thing that makes him such a bad GM is that if you're going to pick all of these corners who primarily play man, you can't have a coach come in and put them in zone defense. That's why they look lost.
Yeah.
You can't talk about their lack of a pass rush because Oso Digizua has been a person known to create pressure. Kenny Clark has been known to create pressure. Dante Fowler has been known to create pressure in other places or with other coaches, but they can't now because you have a bad defensive coordinator. Get rid of this bum. And Jerry, you're the bomb.
And Kenny, you know, the craziest thing about it, and thank you for the call, and you're right on many points there. Mm-hmm. Jerry, certainly the problem. But they are kind of telling you, they told you a lot of things about Micah Parsons, so God knows right. Where the truth is, Pearl. But they told you that, you know, Eberflus kind of didn't really have a need for him, right? Part of this story was the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, like, well, you know, I think we need this, that, and the other, and that, you know, Micah Parsons would not be a huge cog, but maybe that's just Jerry kind of pinning his decisions on other people.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's nice to see Eberflus finally getting something out of Caleb Williams. That joke was made a million times. Yeah. But, for example, like, Dante Fowler's on his fifth team, his sixth team because it's second stint in Dallas. Like, that... I'm sorry, that's your answer for Micah Parsons? Like, I think it's...
Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, well, the caller just said Dante Fowler. Like, that is not... These guys are journeymen, you know? Like, you let a legit superstar out the door. There's just no excuse personnel-wise. And he's totally right about Jerry. Like, if there was any doubt about whether he still had the fastball, it's done, right?
Oh, it's over. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And we will get Micah Parsons back in the building coming up this week. So week four. But again, a lot to unpack before we can look ahead. We want to hear from you. Tell us how you were feeling about your team over the weekend, both college and pro. Coming up next, we'll go back to campus. Maggie and Perloff's BMOC in just a moment.
It was a big weekend in the world of college football. Here's Maggie and Perloff's big moment on campus.
Welcome back to the show. We get back to the NFL in just a moment and your phone calls. But quickly, this week's big BMOC, Pearl, we can't get to without looking backwards to last week. So last week's big moment on campus was LSU head coach Brian Kelly getting into it with a reporter.
What are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right.
Hello.
How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game.
And I can't believe that was only a week ago. There were apologies that were issued after that, went back and forth. So this week's BMOC, Pearl, the big moment on campus, a little different. It was Arch Manning, who we were looking for him to have a big game against Sam Houston. He did, but almost a little too much, because as he runs in a touchdown, he decides to stare down the defender.
Second down and goal. Moore goes in motion. And Manning keeps it himself. Cutting up, gets into the end zone. Touchdown.
Felt good to get back in the end zone. Probably a little much there. My mom was pretty mad about that. A little immature, but I think it was some built-up frustration for the past few weeks. So.
All right, Pearl.
Yeah.
What do you think to this week's big moment on campus, Arch Manning getting a little too ahead of himself with the stare down of a Sam Houston State defender?
It's the first time I've actually worried about Arch this whole entire year because he looks like a total idiot. And obviously, We'll see. Like the sidearm stuff, I figured like he was trying something. Now I think he just might be a knucklehead. It's kind of dawned on me because that was stupid, dude. Like you think like Garrett Nussmeier and Lenore Sellers and Fernando Mendoza and those guys are like the elite prospects are staring at Sam Houston State defenders? No, this was dumb.
So Arch got a lot of criticism. I think everybody should lighten up a little bit on this. If it wasn't Sam Houston State, who they end up beating 55-0, and I get that matters because like, hey, pick on someone your own size. You know, like Sam Houston State is not of the firepower to hang with Texas. I get that. But we like this bravado from other guys. Like Baker Mayfield and others, but it just, it was the opponent. It's got to be time and place. But generally, I think we kind of like this from dudes. But because Arch Manning didn't have the perfect timing of when he pulled this big-timey move, all of a sudden now he's like the world's biggest moron?
I would bet against Texas against Oklahoma. And I'd probably because of this.
Because of this?
Well, yeah, I kind of thought Arch was going to fix it up. Now I just don't think he's got it all upstairs right now.
It's funny because you're somebody who's like never listened to the press conference. That doesn't mean anything. Nothing matters except for how everything you play the game. But this matters to you in your mind.
Well, staring listen, down like, the defender. I don't love over celebrators. I think it's ridiculous. Like George Pickens like celebrating a first down like it was Mardi Gras last night and a blowout. Like that's like typical of a guy, like a loser player. And this was not good. I mean, I do think, obviously, and I kept saying, like, Arch is so much better than the press is making him out to be after the first 3 weeks. But, and I still think that, but I just, like, I don't know. That was just bad. It was really bad.
Isn't it just him? He's just a college kid, and he's been feeling the weight of the world and decided to show his teammates, like, hey, I'm going to flex, and I'm just going to try to exude confidence after they've been leaking it for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I guess so, but I definitely didn't like it. I feel like they'll probably beat Florida. I think Florida might lose out next week, the entire season. But it's not because of Arch. Like, Florida's defense is going to get after him. I think they win that game with just defense. And then I'm watching for that Oklahoma game because Arch has got to really step up. Just going, having a perfect game against Sam Houston State proves nothing to me.
Well, I'll agree with you on that. Yeah. Like, that was not the right opponent to be the litmus test on whether or not Arch is fixed. Let's go to Preston, who's in Northwest Arkansas, agrees with Perloff. You did not like the stare down. Is that right, Preston?
I'm so hot under the collar this morning. It's unbelievable. Here's the thing, folks. It wasn't just the opponent. It was the situation. It's a 4 or 6 yard run, and the poor guy doesn't even try to tackle him. He just happens to glance off him as Arch steps into the end zone. And he does that whole thing. I'm thinking, you know, you go into the season and you kind of feel bad for him because the expectations were so high. He just hasn't settled in. We all kind of want to see him do well. And then he does that. What an absolute punk. I'm out on this guy. John Mateer for Heisman. OU to win Red River by 60. And bench Arch Manning.
Oh, man. Preston, I get that. Come from the state of Arkansas. History with Texas. I would expect nothing less. However, you know, I think Preston is right, and I don't agree with this, but Arch, in some ways, because he was struggling so much, I think some people did start to feel a little bad for him. Like, he got, not underdog, but like a little, you started to feel for him a little bit.
Definitely.
For some people, not everybody, but for some people, it's
I mean, it was because it was like a ridiculous, like, media storm against him. Obviously, the guy's in his third start of the season.
Right.
And everyone was acting like he was the worst quarterback of all time.
And now that's gone. Like, anyone who was, like, feeling a little bad for him or, like, hey, man, the pressure, or, like, put yourself in his shoes. He must be, you know, he's really dealing with something mental, physical, all that stuff. Now, one stare down, 2 seconds, he stares somebody down, and everyone's out on this guy.
Well, I mean, remember, it was Sam Houston State, baby.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But he's just he's a college kid who's been struggling.
First of all,
he tried to show a little bit of, you know, a little bit of moxie is what we would call that if it was somebody else.
SEC Media Day, he said he has the targets on his opponents, and now we have this situation. It's starting to add up, and the play's not matching the bravado yet. So I'm on your side, Maggie, but he's making it difficult to defend him as the season goes along.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Florida, as terrible as a team they are, their defense has looked really good. Like, it's a huge step up. I'm dying to see what kind of quarterback Arch is. Like, has he fixed it? Can he throw a normal screen pass? I don't know. There's a lot TBD here.
Manny, can you throw a poll up about Arch? Like, Are you out? I don't even know how would you even word this? Like the arch stare down.
Did you ever, well, I mean,
did so you have a problem with it?
Did you have a problem with it? I mean, it would probably be.
It'd be like 100 to 0. I get that, but it's like, it's not a federal case, guys. Like, let's also not make it out to be more than what it was. Was it a great look? No. Did he go like, you know, punch somebody in the face? No.
I don't think I can fit all that in a tweet.
Call Elon and tell him to give you more space.
Call Kelly.
Call Kelly.
I mean, I think it's really interesting from a football perspective, too. Like, Arch looked really good in this game. But does that give him false confidence that he can stay in the pocket against SEC teams? Like, I don't know. I'm very curious how he builds off this game. Like, is he fixed? That could be another poll question. Is Arch fixed? What do you think?
No. No. I can't tell from Sam Houston. And no disrespect to them. But, like, that was just not the right game. Was it, like, a get-right game? I don't think so. Florida might be.
I don't think that's
the game to put it on. Oklahoma, that's going to be the true test.
Yeah, Oklahoma will be good. Then again, yeah, he has a bunch of defenses you can move the ball on, so maybe he'll be okay. But Oklahoma, they have to win the game, or they might be out.
You know what it's more to the heart of? I think now people think Arch is a punk. And I think before they were like, all right, he's struggling football wise, but like, look at this kid, great upbringing, the Mannings, they always do everything right, Now it's like, is he actually just kind of a punk?
Has your opinion changed?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one act is punk. Like, I don't know if it's the overall opinion. The caller is obviously interesting. He's out. I mean, one act, it definitely wasn't good. If he has a humbling performance against Florida, I think he's back to we like Arch because he's way too heavily criticized.
Well, see, I don't know. Now maybe everyone's like, well first punk of all, had game, it coming. Yeah, I don't know.
That game wasn't on TV, so it's...
People are too sensitive.
That's what I think, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, I do think people... I mean, listen, it's Caleb Williams, it's Arch Manning. They will make a massive referendum on every single quarter, every single play. We're going to go up and down like a roller coaster on Arch Manning every single week. You guys all know that's how this thing works.
I do, but it's funny. If he actually is a little more like Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield planting the flag. But Baker is very comfortable in that spot. He's okay with getting hate from people. We don't know about Arch. Does he want to be polarizing? Peyton and Eli they were the furthest thing from polarizing.
We know he's not going to be anything like Baker Mayfield.
Right. Well, but that was like a Baker Mayfield kind of move.
One move, right.
That's what I'm saying.
There is no chance that he is anything like Baker Mayfield the rest of the season. 0.0%. First of all, Baker Mayfield is the world's greatest white dancing quarterback of all time. So there's that. I mean, Baker was a full-on party 24/7. Like, Arch has one move. Let's not overstate it.
I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Never thought we'd be talking about a 55-0 win, but Arch Manning stares down the defender, and here we are.
Super annoying. Just on ESPN Plus. I couldn't believe it.
We had some other good stuff from college over the weekend. We'll get to that and back to your NFL calls where the day was ruled by special teams.
Yeah.
Blocked field goals galore, which led to some really funky finishes. We've got all the details for you next.